Want to bring the message tonight out of Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and tonight, if you could stand to your feet, we'll begin reading there in verse 22. Acts 17, verse 22. I just feel the need tonight to, since the election was last night or yesterday, to kind of make some comments and make some applications tonight. And I just want to take all the time I can to do that. Hope you would understand. Here in Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. It says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that all things are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, or though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men here to dwell, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times afore appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus here tonight, and Lord, I am thankful tonight for allowing us to be back into the house of God. I'm encouraged tonight, Lord, for all that you sent our way. Father, I'm glad tonight, Lord, that we can call you Savior and Lord. Father, you're our hope and you're our help. Father, man tonight, dear God, will bring disappointment to our lives. And man tonight, dear God, will even fail us. And yet God never will. Jesus tonight is faithful unto the end. Father, he loved his apostles and he loves us. And we know that tonight, for he gave us life for a ransom for a sinner such as me tonight. God, take your word, God, and open it up to our hearts. May God, the Spirit of God, lead us into all truth. Father, open our hearts tonight, dear God, concerning this election and what all that might mean and where do we go from here. God, I pray, Father, that you give us wisdom, give us understanding and clarity. Father, you do what you always do. And that is tonight, dear God, you convict our hearts and draw us unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I know tonight that the complete results are not in. But we also know, because we're not ignorant people, of where it is and where it stands, that it doesn't look like that Trump is going to win. It looks like Biden is going to win. We don't know that just yet, but we see that direction or trending that way. And so with that being said tonight, I can already tell, and you can tell, that America has chosen their path, that America has decided what direction that she wants to go in. Tonight, we can be rest assured that the people of America has made choice. And so as we preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night, we found that the choice wasn't a man, but the choice was God and His Word and His will. And so we find that America hasn't chosen that path. America has chosen the path without God. And we know that because of the election and whom was elected by the people of America. And so we find tonight that if we take the platform, or we take the policy, or we take the already given lines that they're going to follow, we know and we have understanding that it is America in a path without God. Paul came to Mars Hill. There was a city without God. There was a people who had a city or had an altar, had a place, and he understood that this Mars Hill, according to what he says in verse 23, doesn't have God. For if they did have God, he wouldn't have to declare to them who God was. And so we understand and know as Mars Hill called God the unknown God. And we've come, and it's evident in America tonight, that not all, but the majority of Americans tonight, that the God to them, that's the God to us, is unknown to them. As it was unknown to Mars Hill who God was, it's unknown to America tonight who God is. And it's evident by the voting of what we just saw last night. To the church tonight, let me confirm and let me affirm to you that God, to them that is unknown to many Americans, is known to us. You say, what are you trying to say tonight? All I'm saying tonight is the America that we live in has made choice, and it's a choice without God. And this choice is an unknown God because they don't know the God that we know. But I want to affirm and to confirm and even encourage tonight that the God that we do know. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3 says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. If America knew God, they would love God. And that America would be known of God. That's not the case tonight. That's not a true statement. The Word of God is true. If any man love God, the same is known of him. That's meaning tonight, if you love God, everybody will know that you love God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you turn there with me, in verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Word of God again reveals a truth tonight that is pretty plain. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princesses of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. If America would have known God, they would not go into the direction that they're going in. As the princes of this world of the time of Jesus, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory because they would have known. Tonight, to America, God is unknown, as it was to the Mars Hill, unknown. But tonight, I want to encourage us, and I want to let you know about the church tonight in America that is real and true to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that I want to say to you, if America would have known Him, they would not have taken the godless path that they have taken yesterday. Number one, concerning the church, and I want to preach to the church tonight. I want to encourage you. It's not all over. It's not said and done. The church was here before America. And if the Lord tarries, the church will be here after America. America does not determine the Christian life. America does not give approval for the Christian walk. Tonight, we have to see who we are tonight. We're the church. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're a church in America. But I want you to notice, number one tonight, the knowledge of the church in America. Paul begins to tell the city who has no knowledge of God. He begins to declare to the city who God, who's unknown to them, he begins to make them known. Now we, the church, tonight, we have the knowledge of God. We have the knowledge of God in America. There's three things I know that Paul mentioned to them. He said, number one, that God is creator. And I just want to encourage you tonight that we that are in America, that are saved and born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, the church of the living God, we have a knowledge tonight of God in America. And so we find tonight that he said, that Paul said there in there in Acts chapter 17, and there in verse 24, he said, God that made the world and all things therein. And so he says to the people of Mars Hill who doesn't know God, and it's unknown to them as where America is, he says, let me now declare to you the God. He said that God is creator. Verse 24 says, he made the world and all things therein. It does three things that Paul says here that you and I tonight as a Christian, as a church in America, need to know that this identifies God. When it says he made the world, it identifies him as creator. There's only one creator, only one that made anything, and that's God, amen. And so tonight Paul says that God who's unknown to you, that God whom you don't know is the God who made the world and all therein. And so that will identify him. That separates him. You see, Mars Hill had many gods. America has many gods tonight. But it separates all other gods by him being the creator of the world and everything therein. So it identifies this God. It separates him, but then it exalts him. Tonight, the God that he's talking of is Jesus Christ. We find that in Colossians chapter 1. Turn there if you would. Colossians chapter 1 and look in verse 14. Some of my favorite scriptures are right here. In verse 13, the last two words is, dear son. And then he continues on with the colon. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so tonight there's no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of this world. In John we find the same thought tonight, John chapter 1 in verse 1. I'm sure that many of you tonight could quote that. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ tonight is that Creator. He is that unknown God here in Mars Hill. Jesus Christ tonight is the unknown God in America. He's the God they don't know. He's the God that they say unknown tonight. And that's the path they have taken, a society, a world, a life, America without Christ. And tonight I want to encourage you, church. We have the knowledge of God in America. Even though America went that direction, we don't go that direction. And in America tonight, we have a knowledge of God. He's the creator of the world that identifies Him, that separates Him, that exalts Him tonight. And Christ Jesus tonight in our hearts and our lives is our God. No matter who's president tonight, no matter who's senator and legislation tonight, and who governor or mayor or any other local authority tonight, God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. We got to keep that knowledge. We got to understand, number two, Paul says not only does he say that God is creator in the knowledge of the church, but he says that God is the Lord. Verse 24, he says, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. This clarifies him. This describes him. This magnifies him. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, we find a confirmation. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. We find in Philippians chapter 2 tonight, another favorite part of Scripture that I love tonight. It says in verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the knee, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Is there any doubt in your mind tonight that the very unknown God in Mars Hill is the very same unknown God in America tonight, due to the path that they're taking of the majority tonight, is that this God is not a creator of the world, but this God in whom they have no knowledge of is the Lord. He's the Lord of heaven, and He's the Lord of earth. So tonight we are to be encouraged that we have this knowledge. The majority of America don't have this knowledge, but you do. Tonight we're to get our heads up. We ought to be able to have more the pep in our step, a smile on our face, and joy in our heart that God's given us a knowledge tonight that the majority of America tonight has an unknown God, and it's Jesus tonight, but we have the knowledge of Him as Creator and Lord. Can I say thirdly tonight, as Paul presents it well, is he not that God is the Lord and that God is Creator, but that God is God. Look at verse 24. Back into our text of Acts chapter 17. That God is God. So we see that to be so. We find that Bible says in verse 24, "dwelleth not in temples made with hands." We see that God is God because He's too great to dwell in temples. God cannot be contained in this world. God can't be contained in this house. This house can't contain Him. There's nothing at all that nobody can build tonight that God would be contained in. God's too great. You'll not find God in a church. You'll not find God in a temple. You'll not find God in a synagogue tonight. He's not going to be dwelling with man's hands in what they've built. Amen? He's too great. We find tonight that He's too holy. In verse 24, it says that dwelleth in not in temples and made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands. You see, God's too holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is too holy tonight for any man to worship Him with his hands. There's no man tonight that can worship Him with his works. No man tonight can worship Him with his activities and behaviors and deeds. No man tonight can do that. He's too great of a God. He's too holy of a God to allow an unholy one to worship Him, to bow down to Him tonight. Oh, He's too much. He's God. And so we find thirdly tonight that He's too rich to be given nothing through hands. The Bible says there in that portion of there in verse 25, it says, "as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life, breath, and all things." And though He needed anything. Tonight, God will not be to the place where He's indebted to man. God's not going to be to the place where He is owing man. He's too rich tonight. He has no need of man. He has no need of what man can offer and give. He has no need tonight that man has got him on an advantage and man has got some sort of a gain on him or some kind of profit upon him tonight. Oh no, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, He's God of gods. He's the Creator of the world tonight. Hey friend, He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and we have the knowledge of that in America. Get your head up, church! Even though America's going in the wrong direction, that don't mean we have to. You say you fired up, brother, boy, you better believe it. You better believe it tonight. I'm not angry. I'm not disappointed. I'm not bitter. I'm none of those things tonight. I'm encouraged to know that there's a church in America tonight that has the knowledge that Jesus is God, Jesus is Creator, and Jesus is Lord, just like Paul tried to explain to Mars Hill, and we got to go out into this world and explain to them that this is the unknown God that they don't have. Amen? That's what the church has to do tonight. We got a job to do. We got work to do. Man, there could be a revival. There could be lots of people getting saved. There could be a lot of folks tonight come to know the Lord during this time. This is not a time tonight for us to just become down and out and confused and like, what am I going to do now? Hey, we may take a financial hit. We may take a spiritual attack. We may take tonight some other physical things or strains or maybe restraints tonight. But listen, friend, Jesus is still Creator and He's still Lord and He's still God tonight. And that's what we know in the knowledge of that tonight in the midst of America. We find here tonight, can I say secondly, not only do we have the knowledge of the church in America, but we have the understanding of the church in America. Look at verse 25. We understand where does life come from. We understand that. He says in verse 20, there in verse 25, he said, seeing He, that's the Lord, giveth to all life breath and all things. We know tonight, we understand tonight, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We know tonight that the physical life that you and I have, it's because of God. The very breath we breathe tonight is the breath of God. The very strength that we get out of bed, the very thought process that we have, the very blood that runs through our veins tonight, the very beat of our heart tonight is because of God. We understand that tonight. They don't understand it. That's why Paul's explaining to them. We understand tonight that not only do we have physical life through God, but we have abundant life. Tonight we have blessings from God. We have houses and cars and we have food and we have clothing. We have health care. We have all kind of things that surround us tonight. That's the abundance of life that God gives us tonight. All that comes from God. You think you can work for it. You think you can save for it. You think that you can earn it. You think you go to work and you do this and that and yonder and you get a paycheck at the end of the week and you look to God and say, look what I made tonight. All wealth comes from God. So we find that He's life. We find not only physical life and the abundance of life, but we find eternal life. It's Him tonight that gives eternal life. We know these things. We have that understanding. Thank God tonight, the majority of America don't. They don't know this. They have no clue. That's why they voted the way they voted. They don't have the understanding, as a church understands, that it's God tonight that has the ability and the power and the strength tonight to bring life and breath in all things. They don't know that. We do. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding. Number two, where does life come from? We got that. Where does man come from? Look at verse 26. He hath, again, he's talking about God, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Where does man come from? Comes from God. God's made one blood. Tonight, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter tonight how high and tall you are. It doesn't matter tonight how educated you are. It don't matter tonight. When you bleed, it looks like my blood. One blood. It all come from Adam through Noah. All of us tonight are in an equal path. All of us tonight have no superiorities of anyone or any place. Amen? We're all of one blood, which God is the one who made us. We know that. We got understanding tonight to this. One race, one blood, one maker. We understand that. We understand tonight, where does life come from? God. Where does man come from? God. Where does times come from? Look there in this verse here in verse 26. He says, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Here's really the meat of my message tonight. Where does times come from? Very interesting tonight that Paul is telling a people who don't know God, that's an unknown God to them. And he gives them this deep, theological, Bible lesson. He says, and hath determined, God hath determined, the times before appointed. In other words, tonight, there is not a time in your life that God had not already appointed. And so we say the times come from. Where they come from? Times. When such men should live. When should Noah live? God determined the appointed times. When should Cyprus live or Cyrus live? When should Nebuchadnezzar live? When should Titus in 70 AD burn down Rome? He burned down Jerusalem, temple. When Ronald Reagan was born. We can go tonight and we can look back into biblical history. We look back into American history. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, so forth, so on. These men or these women tonight have been times are determined before appointed. And tonight we understand and know that when such men should live or when such women should live. God knew that you are going to live in 2020, November the 4th. That's the time that God has allotted before you were even born and appointed to be in this time frame. Amen? Does that make sense to y'all? Everybody in the past had this time frame that God has set them in. We understand this. We understand, number two, that not only does the times come from where such men should live, but times that come in when such nations should exist. Not every nation has existed forever. Only nations arisen at the such time. At that particular time, Rome, Babylon, Medes and Persia, Syria, on and on, America. God knew the appointed time when America was going to be born, but God also knows the time and period when America won't exist. That's that God that we understand. America don't understand that tonight. America thinks they're going to exist forever. America thinks that they're existing now in a path for what's best and what's better. Oh, but do they not know and understand tonight that it's God who brings that determination and that He makes that appointment that America will be born on this day, on this time, and it will die and be destroyed on this time and this day. And we understand that tonight because the Scripture teaches it. So we find that the times would mean that what such men or women should live and what such nation should exist. And then thirdly, what such kings should rule. God has brought forth and His kings. Who does He put in charge? Who does He take out? When does He do that? Is it time for Trump to be removed? That's God. Is it time for Biden to be in place? That's God. Amen? He don't ask us if we like it. He don't ask us what we feel, if what's best for this world that He has made. He's the Creator and the Lord of it tonight. He's the God of it tonight. He's the one who has set it up. He's the one who's appointed it. He has put me here at this day. He has rose this nation at this time. He has put that ruler in this time. And maybe tonight, if not, it is so that God tonight, we understand this, that for times such as this, it's right. It's right. It may not be likable. It may not be desirable. But we know according to the Scripture here, hath determined the times before appointed. And those times have three categories. Which such men should live. What such nations should be exist. And what such kings should rule. The habitation is set forth. Daniel chapter 2 verse 21 says, He that changeth the times and the seasons, He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Tonight, what I'm saying is this, that the revolutions and the changes of nations are under the direction of the influence of divine wisdom. That's what this is saying. Let me say that again to you so you get it. The revolutions and changes of nations are all under the direction of the infinite divine wisdom of God. See, we understand that tonight, the church. This America don't. We must be content and satisfied where God has placed us now. That God has set limitations and He has set boundaries for each one of us tonight. He has set limitations and boundaries for each nation. He has set boundaries and limitations for each king. Tonight I can just say to you that we understand. We understand that tonight, where does times come from? And they come from God. It might be a perilous time. It might be the last time. It might be the times of Gentiles. It might be the times of Jacob's trouble. It may be the tribulation times. It may be a difficult time. It doesn't matter tonight. He is the one where it comes from. So we find tonight, thirdly and lastly, the wisdom of the church in America. Not only the understanding, and not only tonight the very truth where God can give us tonight to understand exactly what He wants from us tonight. But we understand tonight, and we have the knowledge tonight, and then God gives us wisdom tonight. Here's the wisdom. What do we do now, dear church? What do we do now? Let's just say we don't have the final tallies in. Let's say that Biden wins. So what do we do now? As Christ-honoring and Christ-worshiping, as God-following, Bible-believing people tonight, that now the people who will be in charge, we have the understanding now, we can't forget that, we have the knowledge, but we have to have wisdom now in the midst of what's taking place, right? We can't just go out and fight the world. You can't go out and fight the party. You can't go out and fight your neighbors. You can't go out and fight your coworkers. You can't go out and take your family members and just withdraw from them and exclude them from your life. So what do we do? What's the answer here? Well, I say tonight, the answer is, as it says here, there in that verse 27, that they should seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That hasn't changed for us. If you're a child of God tonight, you've been seeking the Lord many days. You continue to seek the Lord. It doesn't change anything. That word seek means desire, endeavor, and demand. Desire, demand, and endeavor. So what am I going to do in the midst of this campaign or this ministration or this direction or this path I'm just going to seek the Lord. That's the wisdom tonight. I'm talking about wisdom. What am I going to do now? I'm going to seek the Lord. Why am I going to seek the Lord? Because that's what it says to do. Paul's trying to tell the people who have no knowledge of God what to do. Then people who have knowledge, we should seek the Lord because that's what he's telling them to do. And so we find not only to seek the Lord, but to search the Lord. If you look a little further down, it says, if haply they might feel after him. That word feel after tonight, it means to search diligently. It means to have hands on. That means sometimes when you search or something like that, I'm just looking around and I'm just searching and stuff like that. Oh, but when you start picking up stuff, now you're searching diligently. So we're seeking God, the Lord, and, he may be found, he may not be found. Oh, but now I'm searching the Lord. I am diligently seeking him. I'm picking things up. I'm moving things out of the way. I'm going the extra mile. I'm doing the extra thing. I'm reading more. I'm praying more. I'm coming to church more. I'm giving more. I'm going more. I'm doing more. I'm diligently thinking. I'm seeking the Lord. What am I going to do? What am I going to do during this period of time? I'm just going to search the Lord. I'm going to go forth toward him and search him diligently. But it also means to search him accurately. To be accurate. So don't be foolish and don't be ignorant, but to be accurate about it. That you know where you can find the Lord, search him there. You can't find him at the beer joint. You can't find him tonight at the dance hall. You can't find him tonight in a place of wickedness, in a place of evil, in a place of depravity tonight. You've got to come to a place where you have to search him out accurately. Like a church, or like your home, or like your closet, or in the Word of God, preaching, teaching, singing. Build yourself, surround yourself around things that will create the Lord in your life so that you search for Him accurately and diligently. And then thirdly, I notice in verse 28 tonight, to satisfy the Lord. The Bible says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. To satisfy the Lord. And that is in Him. In Him. In Him. I'm going to go tomorrow. And I'm going to go in Him. So whatever takes place and whatever happens, it's going to be in Him. It's in Him. I'm just going to satisfy Him. I'm just going to live. We're going to live Him. We're going to move in Him. We're going to be in Him. It's in Him. Satisfying the Lord. Satisfying the Lord. Am I going to try to satisfy people? No, I'm going to try to satisfy the Lord. The Bible says there in verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our beings. And listen, that takes the whole day. We live, we move, and have our beings. That's one whole day. The next day, we live, we move, and have our beings. In Him. The next day, we live, we move, we have our beings. Every single day, we're just going to satisfy Him. We're just going to search Him. We're going to just seek for the Lord. And you that are Christians have been doing that for time now. Oh, but God says tonight, this is the answer. This is the wisdom of what do we do now. We're just going to do what David did. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 31. Psalms 31. Brother George got me onto this Sunday morning, and I just couldn't get away from it. And so tonight it just fit right where the Lord is leading us. And so what is David? I mean, what did David do? Well, I mean, look at David's circumstances tonight. David's circumstances in verse 8 of Psalms 31. He says, "And thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul in my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was reproached among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear of mine acquaintances. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Now that's his circumstances. Now our circumstances are a little bit different than that. And yet some of that we can probably have some comparison to. You know, we can feel how David may be feeling in some things, but not all. But as a whole tonight, his circumstances were dire. His circumstances was in a crisis. His circumstances would create some sort of excitement, some desperation. Let's say tonight it required an emergency or maybe even an urgency. Tonight we're in that case. We're in that situation as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America tonight. We can find and we can see down the road tonight of maybe some desperate times. Maybe some frustrating days. Maybe some urgency and emergency and crisis taking place. Amen? So we tonight see that. So what did David do? I think we ought to follow just like David. So I want you to notice not only his circumstances, but I want you to notice his confidence. He said in verse 14, he said, "But I trusted in thee." That's the confidence that he had in God. He said, "I'm just going to seek the Lord. I'm just going to search the Lord. I'm just going to be satisfied with the Lord. I'm just going to be what He wants me to be. I'm just going to trust in Him. I'm just going to put all faith, 100% of faith in Him. I'm just going to throw myself at Him. I'm just going to give my family to Him. I'm just going to give my church to Him. I'm just going to give my circumstance to Him. I'm just going to give the place where I live and the people I'm around and all that I have, everything that I own is just going to be through Him. I just trust in Him." That's what David is saying. That's what we're going to have to do. This is wisdom that we're gaining from David tonight, what to do in these times. These times. Remember those times that God has appointed? Those times that God has determined, that's what we can do. So we find the confidence that David shows. But then I notice the confession that David makes. He says, "I am going to trust the Lord." He says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." That's his confession tonight. And that's what we're going to have to do during the times of the days ahead. And we're going to have to make a confession. Thou art my God. Thou art my God. See, Lord, you tonight, I have found you. I have you. I am with you. You are with me. You are my God. I don't have two gods. I have one God. And that God is Creator. That God is Lord. That God is God. That God is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I have my God. I have a personal relationship. I got a personal fellowship with Him. I've got worship with Him tonight. I've got a supping with Him tonight. I've got communion with Him. I got companionship with Him. He knows me. I know Him tonight. I can call His name. He can call my name. Hey, friend, listen tonight. It doesn't matter if it's in the dark dead of the night. I can call Him and He'll hear me. Amen. It might be in the daytime and the sun is hot, but He can hear me there as well. And when He calls me, amen, I can hear His voice. And I'm just saying tonight, I'm His child and He's my Father. I'm saved by the grace of God, a child of God. And I am with Him and He's with me. He's my Father. He's my God. And so tonight, that's where you have to get to. This is the wisdom. This is the answer to what we're facing tonight. Not to run. Not to be scared. Not to be frustrated. Not to be fighting. Not to be changing. Not to be bitter. Not to be weak. But to be confident and confessing, "Thou art my God." Can I say here lastly tonight, not only David's circumstances and David's confidence and David's confession, but I know it's David's commitment. He said in verse 15, "My times are in your hands. You know the time that we're facing tonight? It's in His hand. You know tonight this election that seemed not to go the direction of God? It's in His hand. You know tonight the future? In His hands. My times are in His hands. What's before me is in His hands. What's about me is in His hands. What's with me is in His hands. My times are in Your hands. Remember the times we talked about a while ago? The times that should be a man should be born or should live. A nation shall exist. And a king that shall rule. That's His times. And if I'm living during that time, it's my time. But that time must be in His hands. Amen? We'll find joy that way. We'll find blessings. And we'll find unity and harmony. And you'll see that God will move us right through and right on. I don't know what He's going to do with America. But I know what He's going to do with the church. I'm not so concerned right now about America. I'm real concerned about the church. Amen? So tonight, I want to encourage you. Again, not to quit. Not to run out of here tonight angry and bitter and frustrated. And don't run out of here tonight with a mindset that you're going to fight. We're to fight the devil. All right? Not fight flesh and blood. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we are winning from victory. To victory. Get that now. We're not fighting to victory. We're fighting from victory to victory. We've already won tonight. You can't harm us. You can't hurt us. You can't do anything to us tonight. We're settled and satisfied. And tonight we are seated in heavenly places. So tonight the church is well. All things are good. This has everything to do tonight with America. And so we pray and we beg and we beseech and we desire tonight that we'll just keep on serving Jesus and keep Him on the forefront. Our eyes set like a flint to the eastern skies because our Redeemer draweth nigh. Amen. He's coming. He's going to remove His bride. And they can have it. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I pray tonight that you are not too disappointed with me for changing up. But I felt like that we needed to say what we said tonight. And I'll be honest with you. I preached right to me. Because last night I wasn't in this kind of frame of mind. God has dealt with me all day long. I want to be right with God. I want to do right. I want to be right. I want our church to be right there too. Now tonight we can't be ignorant to think that there's probably going to be no changes. There probably are going to be some changes. But listen, we have the Lord tonight. He's not dead. He's not left. He still sits on the throne. And He is still our Lord and God and Savior. Amen. Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Father, I come to You in Jesus' name tonight. And I am thankful, Lord, for the Word of God. I'm thankful for all that has gathered here tonight. We're asking for help. We're asking for wisdom. God, asking for discretion. Father, we need, dear God, Your leadership in our lives. And not only at church, but at home, at work. Father, I pray that You'd give us even greater boldness and greater courage. I pray, Father, that You'd help us tonight, dear Lord, not to be afraid. And God, that we'd not have the spirit of fear. But Father, that we would tonight, dear God, win more to Christ than we ever have before. God, may this be a time of harvesting. God, may this be a time, dear God, of of bearing fruit. And Father, may we tonight, dear God, not look at on it as a negative thing, but God, we might see it as it really is, and that is God's in charge. And God, that's how we see it, that's how we know it, and so that's positive to us. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for loving us tonight. Bless this church, and bless each one that goes tonight home. Meet their needs. Bring us back again on Sunday. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.